Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. And welcome, folks, to this week's edition of the Minister's Friend podcast. We're continuing my interview with my friend Caleb Ives, Executive Director of the Emmaus School, on helping folks in your church to fall in love with the Bible through inductive Bible study. Last time, we described what inductive Bible study is and how it's different from the way many Christians approach Bible study. In today's episode, we want to talk about the incredible difference studying the Bible inductively can make. It can and probably should be a vital part of every disciple-making pathway in the church. It equips people to handle the Scriptures well, finding really good applications to their lives. As we head back to our local Panera Bread for today's installment of the interview, we pick up the conversation with Caleb explaining how teaching people inductive Bible study is a long-term investment, not something that's necessarily done for immediate results.
It's a challenge because inductive Bible study, getting that into the church, what I've seen is it might not be a revival like you might have if you bring in like a real charismatic worship gathering or something like that happens, which are beautiful and wonderful things. I love it. Mm-hmm. It might not cause that immediate, imminent return of boom, everyone's on fire.
Yeah.
But over 2 or 3 years, what tends to happen, and even though we've only been doing this a couple years with churches, we've been for 12 years taking people through the whole Bible in our school.
Yeah.
What we see is 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, the just kind of nominal attendee is now becoming an engaged disciple. The engaged disciple of Jesus is now getting involved in the ministry in some way. And that person is then moving into being a leader and a disciple maker of others. And the way that's happening is just through the repetitive process of being a person that's letting the Scriptures shape how I think about my work, shape how I think about my family, shape how I think about my involvement in church. You know, it addresses so many things. And so, again, I guess that what I've seen is more the slow burn influence of inductive study.
But that's what puts down the roots, though. See? That's what puts down the roots. Yeah. You know, as we're talking about the church and the lack of inductive Bible study in a lot of churches, and that really is true. I've seen that, you know, in my other life, if you will. I do a lot of work with revitalization with churches and coaching pastors. And I would say that I have found the majority of pastors, certainly not all of them, but the majority of pastors that I have worked with, they also are not opening up their Bibles for themselves. They're opening up their Bibles a lot, but it's for the sermon, for a Bible study. They're not self-feeding as they should. And I've got to tell you that even though I'm fairly regular, this thing with the youth, because I'm actually leading the youth right now in our church, this thing with the youth has so challenged me that it's
impacted, you're doing a great job, by the way.
It's impacted me.
Yeah. You're doing a great job.
It's causing me to do more inductive Bible study just so I'm ready for whatever they're going to lay on me when we get together on our Saturday morning gathering.
Yeah.
This is good. Great. I really love this. So with inductive Bible study having such a powerful and, frankly, I would say consistent impact on God's people, why do you think this approach to the Scriptures is so foreign in the North American church today?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I mentioned to you earlier the idea of truth discovered by the learner.
Yeah.
I think there is we want things instant.
Yes.
So most of the people in our church, they actually, what they feel like they want is you to tell them what they need to know.
Yeah.
So we can get it and go.
Yeah.
Right? Give me what I need and I want to go. And I might not even want to come. Just send it to me. You know, record your service, put it online.
Yeah.
I'll get it when I want to and then I can keep on moving. So there's a short term, what it feels like, there's an appeal of just telling people what they need to know. And I think, like, I think that's part of the challenge. I think that the Bible has become more of an assistant to the sermon rather than us kind of coming alongside and serving the scriptures, right? So the Bible has become kind of this supplement to the church gathering. And not in all. There are denominations that keep a lot of scripture central to their gatherings.
Yes.
But in a large percentage of the church, and I would say, again, I work a lot with the millennials, young adults, I think a lot of the churches that tend to appeal to that group, the scriptures kind of have become supplementary to the 3 points of the sermon.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the problems. I think that can be a challenging thing. And also, inductive Bible study, I think, is foreign because of there's been this division between clergy and laity.
Oh, yes.
Right? And seminary, you got your seminarian with the mic, and then all your peasants out there to listen, right?
Yes.
And so that inductive Bible study is actually very accessible and easy for everyone to do. But I think the exegeting of the text by the seminarian up front, which I love that stuff. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I listen to it all the time. But it's kind of created this division where the Bible doesn't feel accessible to Joe the churchgoer, right?
Mm.
And so I think that's part of it as well, that the Bible has become either supplementary or it feels elite. It feels over my head.
I wonder, you know,
it's not engaged with the church.
As you're saying this, and I don't want to cause an argument, and I certainly don't want to get a bunch of emails for what I'm about to say.
You can email John Kimball at...
But I wonder, you know, because there are pastors who, I mean, it's a pride thing.
Right.
Know, they've been to seminary, and the people in the pew have not. I wonder if inductive Bible study is threatening to them because all of a sudden the Bible does become accessible to the pew. You know?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, it's really a well-meaning thing. And again, I love a good sermon that's rich with, you know, parsing the Hebrew, parsing the Greek, and digging into the text. And I think it's really, really well done. The only thing I'd say is for the majority of the people in our church, they're going to learn to engage the Bible the way we do on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they probably aren't sitting at home with someone else reading the Bible in front of them. So the only model they have for how we engage the Bible is Sunday morning.
Okay.
And so I think... So if we're a topical kind of driven church, which is actually a deductive approach, sometimes they're really good topics, but they might be topics that aren't really the central meaning of that text.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But then we try to press those topics on a text. What we're teaching is people to say, hey, what are you interested in? What do you want to think about? And why don't you flip through the Bible and try to find things that either flip through the Bible and find things that apply or read something and try to make it apply to that dating relationship you're in. So you're wanting to know if you should date this person, so read whatever's in the Bible and try to figure out how it applies to your dating relationship.
Yeah.
Even though it's like Leviticus and it's about the sacrificial system. It's like, come on now. All right, so put them on all right.
Yeah.
So so we try to I think at times that approach, it communicates to the church, this is how you approach the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the church, all they see is, okay, when there's something I'm interested in, I'll flip the Bible open to try to find something about it.
Bible roulette.
Oh, I like that. Bible roulette. Yeah. I was good at that in high school.
Yeah.
And then the other approach, again, with the probably the more academic approach to preaching, which I think, again, personally, I love it. And I think it is a good model because what it does model is a value and love for the Bible and a value and love for study, which is a good thing. But if it's prepackaged and it comes across as though, oh, listen to how smart I am, right? It can cause them to feel like, that's not for me. I'll just try to listen more every Sunday and take good notes because I couldn't possibly discover this on a Tuesday or a Wednesday on my own, right? And so I think considering how does the preaching of our church, what kind of engagement with the Bible does it model for our church?
Mm-hmm.
What is it teaching them? So when I think about a, you know, seventh grader in your church who's opening their Bible on a Wednesday morning or afternoon and digging into the Gospel of Mark, that's so exciting.
Yes.
And in reality, 20 years from now, that's going to be bearing fruit still in a way that a really great topical sermon might not be doing, right?
Yes.
Because he's learned to engage his Bible. But the way he's doing that is through modeling, the modeling of the church. So,
amen.
I think that that's really helpful, the way we teach. And then also thinking about ourselves as trainers, not informers. You know, so, hey, here's this information I've got. Let me give you all the information. Look at that. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Versus, okay, my goal is Ephesians 4, to equip the body of Christ. So, for the work of the ministry. But Paul says that in Ephesians 4. He also ties that idea of being equipped in Timothy to all scriptures, God-breathed, useful edification, that the men of God would be thoroughly equipped.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So, if the role of the fivefold ministry role is the equipping of the saints, and Paul says central to the equipping of the saints is the God-breathed scripture,
amen,
then my goal is not just to give you... The reality is, on Sunday morning, it's going to take a lot of years for me to go through all the texts of the Bible.
Yeah.
If my goal as a pastor is ultimately to stir in you a hunger and to give you resource and training to engage your Bible on your own, then I think that's ultimately what our job is. You know?
Amen.
Pastors, we should think of ourselves more like trainers than informers. Yes. In my own personal athletics, I have a trainer. She doesn't just tell me about the various moves and exercises. She helps me to actually do them, and she corrects me until I do them right so I don't end up hurting myself. As pastors, we need to do the same thing for people's spiritual lives. We certainly need to inform, but our work goes way beyond that. We are to mentor and disciple people to apply that information so that they can experience transformation. Being an informer is easier and faster, but that's not our calling. We're called to the slow, steady process of leading our folks toward maturity in Christ. Part of that is teaching them to self-feed on the Word of God. And that's where inductive Bible study comes in. Caleb noted today that investing in people through inductive Bible study has foundational results over time. The nominal attendee becomes an engaged disciple. The engaged disciple becomes involved in ministry, and those involved in ministry become leaders and disciple makers themselves. The scriptures begin to shape how our folks think and process all aspects of their lives. In their introduction to their excellent book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart explain that because the Bible is God's message, it has eternal relevance. It speaks to all humankind in every age and in every culture. Because it is the Word of God, we must listen and obey. But because God chose to speak His Word through human words in history, every book in the Bible also has historical particularity. Each document is conditioned by the language, the time, the culture in which it was originally written. Interpretation of the Bible is demanded by this tension that exists between its eternal relevance and historical particularity. In other words, it's critical that we learn an inductive approach to reading the Scripture because our understanding and obedience today is built directly upon the foundation of what that same passage meant historically to its original audience. Most Christians tend to read the Scripture within their own modern context, and in doing so, they can often miss the point of the passage. We need to help our parishioners to learn to dig deep into the Bible for themselves. We'll continue my discussion with Caleb next week, and we'll hear more about the importance of application when it comes to studying God's Word. Is the Minister's Friend podcast a blessing to you? Would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen, and please also leave us a review? We so appreciate your help. And please be sure to tell your friends, your pastors, and other church leaders that you know about the podcast. Your personal recommendation to other people is the only way that we can grow our audience. I hope today's episode was helpful. Please check out the show notes for additional information and suggested resources, and thank you again for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!